In the name of the one true living God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He made us and made all things visible and invisible, and upholds us in all things by the word of His power. Our call to worship is from Psalm 16, verses 7 to 11. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For You will not abandon my soul in Sheol, or let Your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In Your presence there is fullness of joy. At Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Brothers and sisters, the theme of our brief message from God's Word is Jesus' power of holiness defeated death. It's based on the message of the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost in the second chapter of the book of Acts, in which he also refers to Psalm 16, which we have just read. Let us pray. Almighty, holy God, You are all grace and wisdom. In Your grace and wisdom, You designed and made all things perfectly fit for Your special creature, man, whom You created in Your own image and likeness. We thank You that You have not left us lost in the terrible and deadly consequences of our rebellion against Your holy will. We thank You for directing all things to fulfill Your redeeming plan for our humanity. In Your self-giving love, You joined our humanity in Christ. You took on Yourself the punishment due to our own sins. We thank You for making this clear in Your holy word by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who indwells us and builds us up in Christ. Christ who is seated enthroned in majesty as our shepherd and our mediator. It's our prayer that You will bless Your word for us to convict us of sin and cause us to grow in Christ's grace and holy image. We also pray for the world's ever-present need for the gospel and for Your church to be purified, revived, and protected by Your word to faithfully bear witness to Christ by the power of Your Holy Spirit. To You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we render all glory, and to You alone we offer our worship and devotion. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, 10 days after He ascended and was enthroned in His place of majesty, He promised outpouring of the Holy Spirit to take place on the day of Pentecost. His promise to His disciples was that by the power of the Holy Spirit, they would begin from Jerusalem, a historic process, just like Isaiah and Micah foretold. For from Jerusalem, the gospel would begin its journey to the ends of the earth. Jesus spent 40 days teaching His disciples to understand these Old Testament texts and the rest of the Old Testament, that He fulfilled it all. And they certainly learned the lesson. Peter was a witness to Christ's sufferings, death, and resurrection, but he did not speak of what he witnessed firsthand. He did not give a personal testimony. Instead, he went to the revealed word to proclaim the gospel of the risen Christ. Yes, he was with Jesus for 3 full years. He observed his life very closely. He heard him teach regularly. He witnessed miracle after miracle, which manifested Jesus' power in every sphere of life, healing the sick, the blind, even raising the dead. Peter was there when Jesus ordered the wind and sea waves to calm down. And when he ordered the evil spirits to depart from humans they had oppressed. Peter's Jewish listeners were aware of these facts. He reminded them, saying, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know." He also reminded them that Jesus indeed died, and they knew it because they were the ones who killed him. He said, "This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." Peter asserted that the death of Jesus, even though carried out at the hands of hateful evildoers, still fulfilled God's eternal plan. It was indeed an eternal plan of salvation that required Christ's death. His victory over death was eternally secured also. It was revealed already in the Old Testament scriptures from which Peter learned to preach the gospel. We read what he said. "God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." In Psalm 16, which we read for our call to worship, we are told that sin, the sin that caused Jesus' death, which was ours, not his, could not touch his soul with any corruption. He says, quoting from Psalm 16, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption." The Apostle Paul spoke of this in the Epistle to the Romans in chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Let us hear God's word. He says, "Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ." Our celebration of Christ's resurrection is not only the celebration of a historic event. Christ is risen indeed. This resurrection, in fact, is rooted in a legal reality. Sin was punished in Christ, who knew no sin. He was completely sinless. His soul remained uncorrupted. Thus, Jesus defeated his death on our behalf and secured eternal life for us. In Romans 6, verses 9 and 10, we read, "We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." All other people, including all great and famous ones, such as King David, they died and remained dead. Peter said, "Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this to you yourselves, as you are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.'" Having defeated the devil, sin, and the world, Jesus overcame death, his and our last enemy. He is the resurrection and life. He himself said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Yes, indeed, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.